supposed to be haunted.
That might be fun, Mrs. Bloom said. Let's keep that in mind for you, Teresa. Mrs. Bloom shielded her eyes with a hand to her forehead and looked around the room again. How about you, Chang? Want to join the Shudder Mansion team? Chang Li was another quiet, shy kid. He was the smallest kid in our class. He really looked like a fourth grader, like someone's younger brother. He had a funny laugh, sort of a chipmunk laugh, and everyone liked him because, even though he didn't say much, he was always really cheerful and a good guy.
Okay, he said. I'll do it, but can I bring a flashlight?
I think you'll want to bring all kinds of equipment, Mrs. Bloom told him. She turned to my sister's friend, Anisha. You and Scarlett hang out all the time. Do you want to hang out with her in Shudder Mansion? A grin spread over Denisha's face. Not really, but I guess I'll do it. That's a good friend, Mrs. Bloom said, and very brave. I hope I don't have to be too brave, Denisha said, and everyone laughed. Okay, we need one more victim, I mean team member, Mrs. Bloom said. She gazed around the room, studying each face. Please don't pick Carter, I thought. Please, Mrs. Bloom, don't pick Carter. The moment I had that thought, Carter began waving his hand wildly in the air. I'll do it. I'll go, he shouted. I've already shown how brave I am. They need someone like me.
Please, please.
Okay, Carter, Mrs. Bloom said. You're on the team. Carter pumped both fists in the air in triumph. I sank down in my seat with a groan. Stuck all night in Shudder Mansion with that show-off Carter Burwasser. Not fair. Mrs. Bloom stood up and stretched her back. Chang had his hand raised. She nodded at him.
We all know the stories about Shudder Mansion, he said. About how some evil people died in there and their spirits are still inside. How they can transform into monsters and stuff like that.
Chang hesitated. He had a frightened look on his face. His hands gripped the desktop.
Do you think those stories are true?
Maybe, Mrs. Bloom answered.
So,
Chang hesitated again.
So if we spend a night in there, Mrs. Bloom, will we be safe?
Yes, will we? Denisha added. No, you won't, Mrs. Bloom answered. That's the assignment. You're all going to be in horrible danger. Some of you probably won't survive. Chapter 10. Those words sent a hush over the room. Mrs. Bloom laughed. I'm joking, she said. Did you really think I was serious? She shook her head. This is a school, remember? It's not our job to send you off into real danger. She laughed again. She doesn't know the truth about Shudder Mansion, I told myself. She's like Scarlett. She thinks the stories are fake. Of course we'll make sure you are safe, she said. In fact, your parents can go along with you. They can have the same exciting adventures that you do. Uh-oh. My parents wouldn't want to go. They're allergic to dust, for one thing. Mom would hate being in a dirty old house. She's a clean freak. Everything in our house sparkles as if it were just dipped in polish. And Dad has a thing about insects. He got a bunch of bad spider bites on his face when he was little, and he's been freaked out by insects ever since. We can't ever go on a picnic because Dad doesn't even feel comfortable around ants. So I'd be amazed if my parents said yes. I was thinking about them and didn't even realize that Carter was talking. I tuned back in. He seemed to be talking about special equipment for our adventure. My parents bought me this paranormal detection kit, he was saying. I'm probably the only one in town who has it. It's professional, see? I'll bring it to Shudder Mansion, and maybe we can get some audio or video of actual spirits in the house. He's going to ruin everything, I thought. He'll spend the whole night bragging about his detection kit and making us all pay attention to it, and he'll be the star of the night. It's just like the one they use on TV, Carter continued. It's very complicated and delicate, but I know how to use it. That's wonderful, Carter, Mrs. Bloom said. You know, I always appreciate your enthusiasm.
I always like to give 110%, Carter replied. Don't you just want to punch him?
After school, Scarlett had a guitar lesson, so I wandered off by myself. It was a warm day for fall. The sun beamed down from a cloudless sky. Everything, the grass, the trees, the houses along the street, the cars and SUVs rolling by, seemed too bright to be real. I crossed the street and found myself gazing up at Shutter Mansion. I hadn't meant to walk here. I stopped and, for a moment, had the feeling that something, some power, had pulled me here. Pulled me here against my will. And just as I thought that, a hand grabbed me, and hard fingers wrapped around the back of my neck, and a raspy voice whispered in my ear, "You will die in Shutter Mansion." I opened my mouth and let out a high, shrill scream of fright.
Chapter 11.
I jerked free of the hard grip, twisted away, and spun around, and stared at a grinning Carter Burwasser.
"Did I scare you?" he asked.
"I knew it was you," I lied. His grin grew wider.
"Then why did you scream?"
"I didn't scream," I said. "I just pretended to scream." Lame, I know, but I couldn't admit the truth, that he'd scared me to death. My heart was still pounding. I could still hear those whispered words in my ear. Why did everyone think Shutter Mansion was a big joke? I guessed it was because I'm the only one who plays the Shutter Mansion video game. I'm the only one who knows the kind of horrors that might be waiting inside the old house. Carter and I stared up at the back of the mansion. The whole world all around us was bright and green and sunny, but the mansion rose like a dark creature. The walls were dark as charcoal, and the rows of windows even blacker. I felt a chill. The air seemed at least 10 degrees colder up close to the mansion.
"Are you pumped about spending the night here?" Carter asked.
"No way," I replied. "The story's about this place." He laughed.
"You don't believe them, do you?"
I hesitated. "Carter, do you ever play the video game?" A sneer crossed his pink face.
"No, I don't play games. I write my own. Don't you know programming code? I've been coding since I was 9.
"I play the Shutter Mansion game a lot," I said, "and it's very disturbing. If any of it is true..."
"I have night vision goggles I'm going to bring," Carter interrupted. "It's the kind the army uses in combat. Riley, do you have your own pair? If you don't, I can bring you a pair."
"No, I don't have that," I murmured. "Is there anything Carter doesn't have?"
"The goggles are awesome," Carter said. "It makes everything seem bright as day, and you can see a mouse blink its eye."
"I don't want to see a mouse blink its eye," I said. Carter laughed. For some reason, he thought everything I said was a joke. He laughed at almost everything I said. I told you he was annoying. I just wanted to lose him and hurry home, but I heard voices. I turned around, and there came Scarlett, Denisha, and Chang across the back lawn, our whole team.
"We knew you'd be here, Riley," Scarlett called.
"What happened to your guitar lesson?" I asked.
"Canceled. Derek has the flu."
"I was just telling him some of the excellent equipment I'm going to bring when we stay all night," Carter said. "I have a glow-in-the-dark backpack so I can always find it."
"Cool," Chang said. "I'm bringing glow-in-the-dark water bottles. I get really thirsty."
I thought Chang was joking, but I couldn't tell. Denisha motioned to the back door.
"Why don't we go inside right now? You know, check the place out in the daytime."
"No way," I said. I guess I said it too quickly. I must have sounded a little scared. They were all staring at me.
We don't want to spoil the adventure," I added.
Pretty fast thinking.
"What kind of adventure will there be if our parents are there?" Denisha asked, rolling her eyes. "We have to find a way to lose them. Seriously."
"I'm kind of glad the parents are coming," Chang said. "You know, in case there is some kind of emergency."
Carter laughed. Like an evil spirit grabbing us and pulling us into a world of darkness. I felt a chill at the back of my neck. I didn't like Carter making jokes about this. I could see he wasn't going to take it seriously. Let's take a walk all around the mansion. We need to find the best escape route, I said, thinking about the shadow that had turned into the black cat. Carter laughed again. I wanted to push my hand over his grinning mouth.
Riley is already planning to run away, he said.
Scarlet and Janisha thought that was funny. Chang slapped me on the back.
You lead the way, boss, he said.
He calls everyone boss. I don't really know what he means by it. I started to walk along the back wall of the house. The dark shingles were cracked and broken. I tripped over a small rock hidden by the tall weeds that filled the yard. We passed some low windows at the side of the house. They were so caked with dust, I couldn't see inside. What is in there? I wondered. What is in there waiting for us? I stopped to gaze up at the attic windows high above, and the others got ahead of me.
Hey, wait up!
I called. Denisha and Scarlet were yakking away the way they always do and didn't hear me. Moving away from the dark wall, I began to walk toward the front of the giant mansion. I stepped into a bright pool of sunlight. I raised a hand to shield my eyes from the glare. I stopped and glanced down at my long shadow spreading across the weeds. Whoa. Wait. I'd stopped walking, but my shadow hadn't. My mouth dropped open and I gasped for air. I watched my shadow stretch across the weeds. It grew longer, longer, even though I was frozen in place. My shadow was moving without me. Hey! I tried to call to the others, but they had turned the corner. Hey! My voice came out in a choked whisper. The sun beamed down hot on the top of my head. I shielded my eyes with both hands and watched my shadow stretch and roll in front of me. And as I stared at it, it changed shape. It formed a fat, ugly lizard. A lizard with an enormous head. I saw the shadow of a flickering tongue. The monstrous head darted from side to side. It wasn't my shadow anymore. Hey everyone, stop! I finally found my voice. Stop! I screamed. Hey look, my shadow, hurry! Come back, my shadow! Chapter 12. As I motioned frantically, they came running around the side of the house.
Riley, what's wrong? Scarlet called.
My shadow, I stammered, pointing at the ground. Scarlet and Denisha were wide-eyed as they ran. Carter and Chang trotted behind them. The sky darkened suddenly. The sun faded behind a broad, gray cloud, and my shadow disappeared with it.
What's the problem? Chang asked. Are you okay?
I sputtered. My shadow, it moved. It was a lizard monster. Carter grinned.
Hey, I can do shadow animals too. Do you know how to make a duck?
He put his hands together and went, quack, quack. The cloud passed and the sunlight washed over us again. Carter's shadow duck slid over the weeds. My shadow was back to normal. I stared hard at it, waiting for it to move, to stretch again. But no, it was just my shadow, rippling a little as the weeds shifted in the breeze.
Riley, what's up with you? Denisha asked. If you want to scare us, you'll have to come up with something better than that.
I'm not trying to scare you, I stammered. My shadow moved without me, and... Scarlet was squinting hard at me.
Riley, how come all the rest of us didn't have a shadow problem? Why does something weird happen to you every time we walk near the mansion, but nothing happens to me or to anyone else? Why are you the only one who sees these things?
Maybe because he's crazy, Carter suggested. He put his hands together to make another duck shadow and shoved his hands right up to my face.
Quack, quack!
His fingers pinched my nose. Everyone thought that was a riot. I didn't have an answer to my sister's questions. Why was I the only one to see these things? Maybe because I was the only one who played the Shutter Mansion game? Maybe that had something to do with it.
Let's see if we can go inside, Denisha said, tugging Scarlet's arm. Come on, maybe the door isn't locked. Come on, guys, let's check it out.
That's so like Denisha. Never likes to wait for anything. I took a deep breath and followed them around the side of the house to the front.
Why would the door be locked? Chang said. No one has lived here for 100 years, right?
We'll soon find out, Denisha said.
Scarlet glanced back at me. She knew I wasn't ready to go into the mansion. As we approached the front stairs, I was the only one who was truly scared. I kept checking my shadow as we walked. Would it start to change shape again? The sun kept going in and out of the clouds. It made shadows play over the wide concrete steps that led up to the front doors. The double doors were tall and wide, the paint peeling and faded. The round metal doorknobs were covered in a thick layer of rust. I wished the doors had windows so I could look inside, but they were solid. Denisha ran up the steps first. She raised her fist and pounded hard on a door.
Are you crazy? Why did you knock?
Chang demanded, hanging back on the top step. Denisha grinned.
Just being polite.
I screamed as someone on the other side of the door knocked back.
I knew it was haunted, I cried.
Chapter 13. Scarlet grabbed my arm.
Riley, what is your problem?
Someone knocked, I stammered. She pointed to a tree hanging over the front of the house. A long branch tapped against the stone wall, swaying it in the wind. Knock, knock, knock.
Watch out, that tree is going to attack, Carter cried.
Everyone laughed. It wasn't a tree branch, I insisted. It came from the other side of the door. But I wasn't so sure. Maybe they were right about the branch. I looked up and watched it tap the wall. Denisha wrapped her hand around a doorknob. I moved back, toward the steps. I glanced to the street, ready to run. This is a big mistake. She twisted the knob.
Ouch, it's all rusty!
She wiped her hand on the leg of her jeans. Then she grabbed the door again and pushed. The door didn't budge.
It's stuck shut, Denisha said.
Let's go, I said. We're not supposed to be here. Scarlet stepped up beside Denisha and tried the other door. They both groaned as they pushed as hard as they could.
I don't think they're locked, Scarlet said. I think they're just jammed.
Maybe we should listen to Riley, Chang said softly. Maybe we should leave. It's getting late.
He was right. The afternoon sun was dipping low behind the trees. A blanket of shadows stretched across the front yard. Carter turned to me.
You play the Shutter Mansion game all the time?
I nodded.
Well, when you play the game, how do you get through the front doors?
It's easy, I said. You just slide right through them.
Well, we can't slide through these, Carter said. What's on the other side of the door anyway?
I pictured the opening scene of the game. It's a wide, round, empty entryway, I said. Very bare. Very high ceilings. It's like a big circle, and there are a lot of doors all around.
And the doors lead to the rooms? Carter asked.
I nodded. The doors are all shut. They all have dangerous things behind them. All kinds of evil spirits and monsters and frightening creatures. You have to choose a door. Then you have to battle whatever is behind it. Denisha was still twisting the doorknob.
That's no help, she said. Yeah, that's only a game, my sister agreed. It's not going to help us at all.
Let me try, Carter said.
He shoved Denisha out of the way.
Boys are stronger than girls.
Denisha and Scarlet rolled their eyes. Carter lowered himself to one of the doorknobs. He wrapped both hands around it, took a deep breath, let out the breath with a groan, and heaved himself forward, pushing with all his strength. Nothing moved. He tried to jerk the door back and forth, but his hand slid off the knob and he stumbled backward. I caught him before he toppled down the concrete steps.
Thanks, Riley.
He rubbed the rust off his hands on the front of my shirt.
We need to talk to Mrs. Bloom, he said. We need someone to come here and...
Before Carter could finish his sentence, a loud, angry shout rang out.
Hey, what are you kids doing up there?
Someone stood at the street, half hidden in the shadow of the trees. Was it a police officer? Scarlett and Denisha leaped off the steps and took off running. Carter and Chang followed, scrambling to the ground, then zigzagging through the trees. No one said a word or made a sound. They just ran off silently, in all directions, heads lowered, backpacks bouncing on their backs. Why did I linger in a corner of the front stoop? I had an idea. I hunched against the wall and stood perfectly still until the man in the street moved on. I waited a while to make sure he was gone. Then I slid my phone out of my jeans pocket. My idea was to take some photos of the front and back of the mansion. I knew that if we survived our night in Shutter Mansion, we would have to make a report for Mrs. Bloom. So I thought it would be a good idea to start out with photos of the house before we entered it. I'll start a blog, I decided. I'll add some photos to it every day. I'll try to tell the whole story of our Shutter Mansion adventure with photos. I know what you're thinking. I was the one who wanted to get away from the old house as fast as I could. But now that I knew we weren't going inside, now that I knew we couldn't get inside, I felt much braver. It's a good idea, I thought. I'll stay and take some early photos to use for our report. After all, I'm the expert on Shutter Mansion. I'm the one who plays the game and knows the stories. I'll probably be the one in our group in charge of the report to Mrs. Bloom. I climbed off the stoop, backed up a bit, and took a few shots of the front windows. I bent down low and took a dramatic shot of the front steps, looking up to the double doors. I turned and snapped a photo of the tall stone tower at the left side of the mansion. Then I backed up, took a few more photos of the front, looking through the trees. Later, I'll shoot some videos for the blog, I decided. But for now, photos would do. I was concentrating hard on my phone. I had it raised up to my face, studying the angles that I wanted to show of the front of the house. Then, I uttered a scream as a stabbing pain rocked my head and shot down my whole body. Someone hit me. Attacked. I've been attacked. Chapter 14. Someone smashed my head. I sank to my knees. The pain forced me to shut my eyes. I waited for it to fade, but my head felt as if it might explode. When I finally opened my eyes, I saw the thick tree branch above me. I realized I had walked right into it. Not an attack, not someone, just a stupid tree branch. I waited a while longer, taking long, deep breaths. Slowly, the pain stopped throbbing. The dizziness faded. I climbed back up to my feet. I was gripping my phone so hard, my hand ached. I took a few more breaths, and still feeling shaky, gazed at the house. One more shot. I wanted to do a close-up of the door and the two doorknobs. The afternoon sun was low behind the tangle of trees now. Gray evening light washed over the house. The wind turned cooler, and my forehead still throbbed as I climbed back onto the stoop. I stepped up to the front doors, my phone raised in front of me. I was so focused on the shot, it took me a long while to see that the doors were open. Huh? I cried out, and the phone nearly slipped from my hand. I jammed it into my jeans pocket and stared at the opening between the doors. They were both just open a crack. I could see only a curtain of darkness behind them. I stared hard, my heart suddenly pounding in my chest. When did the doors open? Should I take a look inside? A cold wind swirled around me, holding me in place. But it wasn't the wind that sent chills down my back. It was the sight of those open doors. Had Scarlett and Denisha pulled them open without realizing it? Did Carter's big heave force them open? Or were they opened by someone or something inside the creepy old mansion? A cold feeling swept down my whole body. I had no choice. After all the games I'd played, I had to slip through the doors and enter the old house. I had to look inside. Was I scared? Three guesses. I told myself I'd just take a quick peek. I reached out and grabbed the door on the right. Solid wood. Solid. This wasn't a game. This was the real Shudder Mansion, and here I was, pulling the heavy door, listening to it squeak and groan as I tugged it open. I slipped inside and uttered a startled gasp. Chapter 15. I blinked several times in disbelief. The entryway was exactly the same as in the video game. I stood on the edge of a tall, round room. Gray walls all around, black tile floor, a crystal chandelier hanging from the high ceiling. And, just as in the game, narrow doorways were cut into the round gray walls. Closed doorways. I counted 8 of them. I was still blinking. I guess I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'd never been in this house, but it didn't feel that way. The real Shudder Mansion appeared just as it did in the game. What was behind the doors? The same evil monsters as in the game? I punched my fist against the cold stone wall. Solid. It was real. This definitely wasn't a game. We can't spend a night in this place, I thought. It's just too dangerous. Maybe Mrs. Bloom will let us spend a night at the zoo instead. My eyes gazed at the circle of doors. Now that I was in the mansion, I couldn't decide what to do. One part of me wanted to turn and run back outside as fast as I could. The other part of me wanted to do just a tiny bit of exploring. I'll just look behind one door, I decided. I picked one that was closest to me and turned the rusty doorknob. The door creaked but slid open easily. I peered into a large, empty room. It might have been a living room at some time. Strange. I didn't remember seeing this room in the game. I took a careful step inside. Tall windows across the room were caked with thick dust, but dull orange afternoon sunlight managed to push through. It formed a puddle of soft light on the bare wooden floor. The air smelled musty and sour. The sunlight washed over a tangle of cobwebs on the wall to my right. They were like a thick curtain, stretching from floor to ceiling. I took a step closer and saw hundreds of dead flies trapped in the ancient wall of webs. I squinted in disbelief and saw a tiny skeleton caught in the thick gray strands, the skeleton of a mouse. It must have caught itself in the web and died there. A shiver ran down my back. I turned away from the ugly cobweb curtain. I found myself gazing at a large square mirror on the wall. The mirror rose over a stone fireplace that was heaped with ashes. The ashes were nearly as tall as me. Chunks of wood were broken off the mantle above the fireplace. I moved toward the mirror. Like the windows, it was caked with dust. I squinted, trying to see myself, and gasped when I saw something move. Something in the mirror. Someone moving behind me. Holding my breath, I inched closer and stared at the figure reflected in the mirror. "Hey," I choked out. "Mia? What are you doing here?" Chapter 16. She didn't answer. Her blonde hair fluttered around her pale face, as if she were standing in a soft breeze. She wore the same white top and pale blue skirt as the day before. I stared at her reflection. "Mia?" I spun around to face her. "Huh?" She wasn't there. "Mia?" I started to breathe hard. My chest suddenly felt tight. I turned back to the mirror. And there she was. Her dark eyes gazed out at me. She raised a hand to smooth down one side of her straight blonde hair. A tense laugh escaped my throat. "Are you playing a trick on me? How are you doing this?" She smiled. I spun around again to face her. The room was empty. She wasn't there. "Mia?" My voice came out in a hoarse croak. I spun to the mirror. There was her reflection in the glass. I turned back to the room. No sign of her. It had to be some kind of a trick. A simple trick. So why was my whole body tight with fright? Why was I gasping for breath? I peered into the mirror. I gasped again as Mia gave me a smile and a wave. Then she turned and walked out of view. Mia? Mia? Are you here? I managed to choke out. But the room was empty. And now the mirror reflected only my bewildered face and the empty room and the darkening sunlight. I've got to get out of here, I said out loud. I have to tell the others we can't stay here. We have to find another adventure. This place will give us nightmares for the rest of our lives. I slipped through the open doorway, pulled the door shut behind me, and stopped. Hey, what's going on? I expected to find myself back in the round front entryway with the circle of doors, but I peered down a dark, narrow hallway. I took a few steps. My shoes slid on the dust, as thick as a carpet that covered the floor. The hall stretched for a mile, with dark rooms on both sides all the way down. Did I go out the wrong door? I turned to go back into the room with the mirror, but the door behind me was gone. Whoa. Wait a minute. I just stepped out the door, and now I saw a solid wall. I stepped up to it and ran my hands over the wood. I gazed all around. Definitely no door here. I began to make my way slowly to the next door and the next. I knew there had to be a doorway that would lead to the outside. I stopped when I heard a soft whining sound. A shrill cry. Somewhere behind me. A cat? The black cat I'd seen out in the yard? I started to walk faster, but it was nearly dark as night in the narrow hall. I couldn't see where I was going. The cat's mournful cries followed me down the hall. Finally, I spotted an open door near the end of the hall. I stepped into the doorway. Another room. I squinted into the darkness. Oh! I took a step back as a figure came into view. A skeleton. A human skeleton, lighted by dying sunlight from a window at the far wall. The skeleton appeared to stand on its own in the center of the room. Its toothless grin was frozen on its eyeless skull. I saw thick spiderwebs clinging to its rib cage. Its legs were spread, knee bones slightly bent, standing there. Just standing there, bony arms hanging limply, nearly to the floor. I stared into the gray light. I'd never seen a real skeleton before, not even at the museum. What was holding the bones together? How was it standing upright like that? I didn't have much time to think about it. I heard a rattling sound, and then the skeleton started to move. As I gaped in horror, it did a short dance, like a sailor's jig. Its bony feet tapped against the wooden floor, and its long arms bent in front of it and in back. It moved its arms and tapped its feet and danced to a silent rhythm. The skull tilted from side to side. Its jaw bounced up and down, making clicking sounds as the bones did their dance. And suddenly I remembered it. I remembered the dancing skeleton from level 1 of the Shutter Mansion game. Yes. I'd run into it in the game. The skeleton seemed harmless, just a grinning figure that wanted to dance. But if you watched him too long, he would dance over you. He would pull you to the floor and grind his hard, bony feet over your body. He would kick and pound and dance on you till he flattened your bones. I remembered the dancing skeleton, and I knew I should run, but I waited too long. Too long. He turned. He saw me and stopped his dance. He raised his long, bony arms to me, and he took a lurching dive. With a sharp cry, I ducked out of his grasp. I spun away and started to run. I tore blindly through the darkness, past the closed doors, back down the hall, unable to see or breathe or think about anything but those rattling bones coming after me. The cries of the cat rose higher and more shrill, drowning out the shaking bones. At the end of the hall, I saw a door with dim sunlight seeping through the bottom. I darted toward it. I heard the clatter of bones close behind me. The sad cat wails, the bones, the bones, the snap of the jaw and the thud of the foot bones on the hardwood floor. I was nearly to the door. A choking sound escaped my throat as I felt bony fingers, hard bony fingers, wrap around my neck. The skeleton grabbed me, tugged me back. The fingers pressed hard into my skin. The eyeless head grinned at me with its toothless jaws hanging open. No! I tried to cry out, to squirm away. But the skeleton held tight and began to dance with me in its painful grip. Its bony knees bumped my legs. It shoved me and lifted me with surprising strength. The skeleton was forcing me to dance. 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 We tapped the floor together. It gripped me in its powerful hold and pushed my legs. I had no choice. I had to dance with it. The thud of my shoes on the floor, the clatter and snap of bones, dancing, dancing. No! I screamed and yanked away. I broke free from the dancing skeleton and gasped when I saw what I gripped in my hand. Finger bones. Two of its finger bones had ripped off into my hand. Oh, no, I groaned. I spun away, out the front door, my chest nearly bursting. I couldn't breathe. I could only run. I was running blindly, everything a blur, a swirling, colorless blur. And then the world went black. I don't know for how long. The blackness hung over my eyes and pressed me down, like a dark creature sitting on my chest. I couldn't move. Couldn't raise my arms or bend my legs. And when I finally opened my eyes, it took me a few seconds to realize I was flat on my back on the ground, and I was staring up into a girl's face. I was staring up at my sister. Scarlet, what are you doing here? Chapter 17.
Are you okay? Riley, are you okay?
She placed her hands on my shoulders and gently shook me. I don't know, I answered, my mouth dry as cotton. She leaned over me, her hair falling around her face.
Oh, I was so worried.
I blinked up at her. What's happening?
I came back to look for you, Scarlet said. You didn't run away when we did. I was worried. I came back, and I saw something in the grass under this tree.
She pointed up at a low tree branch above us.
I thought it was a pile of clothes or something, she continued. But I walked closer, and I saw that it was you. You were flat on your back with your eyes closed.
She pressed her hands to her cheeks. Her eyes grew wide.
I didn't know if you were alive. I mean, you didn't move. I guess you were out cold.
I gazed up at the tree branch. I tried to raise my head, but a stab of pain forced me to lie back down.
I made sure you were breathing, Scarlet said. I was so relieved, but then I didn't know what to do.
She rubbed two fingers over my forehead.
Riley, you have a big red bruise there.
And then it all came clear to me. I was taking photos, then I ran into the tree branch, I told her. It must have knocked me out. I wonder how long I've been lying here.
I'm so glad I came back, Scarlet said. Her whole body shuddered. That was scary.
Scary? Yes. I pictured Mia's reflection in the mirror. The thick curtain of cobwebs filled with dead flies. I heard the cat cries so shrill in my ears. The tap and jangle of the skeleton bones as the dancing skeleton came after me. All a dream? All of it only in my mind? Was I passed out here on the grass the whole time? The terrifying pictures were still clear and real. My fear lingered in my chest. A tree branch. A tree branch had knocked me out. And I had that frightening nightmare about being in Shutter Mansion. I rubbed a finger over the bruise on my forehead. The pain had faded a little. I raised my head slowly and turned my gaze to the front of the house. I focused on the doors above the front steps. They were shut. The windows on both sides of the front stoop reflected the late afternoon sun. Scarlett stood up and reached both hands down to me.
"Can I help you up?"
I lifted both arms.
"Whoa, wait."
Something strange. I was gripping something tightly in my right hand. With a groan, I lifted my head. I opened my hand and stared. Stared at the two finger bones gripped tightly in my palm.
Slappy here, everyone. Riley seems a little confused. Was he inside the mansion, or was he taking a snooze in the grass? This story has everything. Mystery, suspense, thrills. There's just one thing missing. Me! I make every story a scream! If I lived in Shudder Mansion, I'd enjoy being there. I wouldn't need any electricity, because I light up every room! Did you know my nickname is Sunshine? Did you also know that I lie a lot? I know what you're all waiting for. You're waiting for Riley and Scarlett and their friends to go spend the night in Shudder Mansion. You're waiting for the real scares to begin. Will they survive? I hope not. I hate a happy ending.
Chapter 18. I grabbed the car door handle as Dad pulled to the curb at the side of Shudder Mansion. Mom turned around in the passenger seat. "Riley, don't jump out before the car stops," she said. Scarlett laughed.
"He can't wait to go inside and start screaming."
I shoved her shoulder. "I'm not going to scream," I said. "You will be the one calling for help."
"You both have a bad attitude," Dad said, shutting down the engine and tucking the car key into his jacket pocket. "It may be a long, scary night. We're all going to have to help each other."
"Sure," Scarlett said. "I'll help him cry like a baby and run for his life."
Not funny. We climbed out of the car. It was a chilly, damp night. Low clouds blocked the stars and the moon. A sharp wind shook the trees and the tall weeds in the Shudder Mansion yard. I shivered in the sudden cold. Scarlett laughed.
"See, he's shivering already."
"Just from the cold," I said. "I'm not scared, Scarlett. I played the Shudder Mansion game 1,000 times. The game is a lot scarier than what will happen to us tonight." I wish I believed that. Actually, I didn't know what to think. I'd tossed the skeleton fingers into the trees, but I couldn't stop thinking about them. I would never admit it to Scarlett, but I'd never been so terrified in my life. None of my friends knew it, but I had gone to Mrs. Bloom and begged her to change the assignment. I told her the old mansion wasn't safe.
"Your friends all want to do it," she said. "And remember, your parents will be there. You're going to make a great video, and you'll have fun, Riley."
Fun? Well, here we were, ready to have fun.
"Don't forget the cooler," Mom said. "We brought a lot of drinks and snacks for everyone."
Dad lifted a tall plastic spray bottle from the back of the car.
"And hand cleaner. You'll need plenty of hand cleaner. There have to be a lot of germs in this old place."
Both of my parents are fanatics about hand cleaner. Every time you look at them, they're squirting their palms. They must have the oiliest hands in town. Behind us, a long SUV pulled up to the curb. Carter climbed out, followed by his housekeeper. He had told everyone his parents were in France, so his housekeeper came instead.
She and Carter moved to the back of the SUV and began pulling out all the electronic equipment Carter had promised to bring.
"Hey, Riley!" Carter shouted. He raised a small camcorder in one hand. "This is the GoPro I used on our safari in Kenya. I'll show you how to use it. It's not that complicated. Even you can handle it. We can both take some video tonight."
"Awesome," I said. I knew Carter wouldn't stop bragging and showing off about how much cool stuff he had and how he was so much smarter than the rest of us, so why fight him? By 8 o'clock, the whole team was gathered in the front entryway. We opened the doors that circled the hall. No monsters lurking behind any of them. I breathed a sigh of relief. In the game, I always hated having to open one of the doors knowing that I'd be attacked. I led the way through a door on the left into a large square room that could have once been a dining room. We piled our jackets against one wall. Some of the parents began lighting candles and setting them up around us. Most everyone was talking at once, and our voices echoed off the high stone walls. I gazed around the room, taking account of how many we were. I'm not sure why I did it. It just seemed like a good way to start the night. Carter was fiddling with his camcorder while his housekeeper dragged a bunch of other equipment into the hall. Scarlett and Denisha were laughing about something and bumping knuckles. Chang explained that his parents work at night, so he brought his grandparents. They were both gray-haired, short, and thin, dressed in black. They kept smiles on their faces but didn't speak. Denisha's parents were as enthusiastic as she was. They were greeting everyone, passing out bags of chips and pretzels, and helping carry the candles down the hall, chattering the whole time about how exciting this was. And then I blinked when someone else walked into the room. Mia. What was she doing here? Chapter 19. Scarlett and Mia greeted each other like old friends. Mia wore a heavy black sweater that came down nearly to her knees. Her blonde hair was tied back behind her head. Carter looked up from his machine.
"Hey, hi, you don't go to our school," he said. "Who are you?"
"Her name is Mia, and she's my friend," Scarlett answered him. "I invited her. She doesn't know anyone, and I thought she'd have fun."
"Hope everyone doesn't mind," Mia said shyly.
I stared at her, thinking about her reflection in the mirror, thinking about that afternoon we met when I suddenly could see her skull underneath her skin. "She's trouble," I thought. I felt a chill at the back of my neck. I know there's something strange about her.
"Are your parents here?"
Scarlett asked Mia.
"They're coming later,"
Mia replied. My dad began to clap his hands together and shouted,
"Quiet, everyone! Can we have it quiet? We have a plan!"
It took a little while for everyone to settle down. Mom and Dad both stepped into the center of the room. Their faces appeared to flicker in and out of the candlelight. The whole room pulsed dark, then light as the candle flames trembled.
"We parents got together earlier this week and made a plan," Dad announced. "You guys are going to have a lot of fun tonight."
"Fun?" I thought. "Will it be fun?"
"Now here's our plan," Dad said.
Scarlett and I exchanged glances. Neither of them had bothered to tell us anything about a plan. Why was it a big secret? Carter had his camcorder trained on my parents. He was recording every word.
"We adults are going to stay downstairs," Mom said. "This room will be our headquarters."
"We'll have all the drinks and snacks down here," Dad continued. "We have lit up the second floor for you. There are candles and a few lanterns hung on the walls."
"And we'll be down here for you," Denisha's mom chimed in. "If we hear you screaming for help, we'll come running. Otherwise, you're on your own up there for any adventure you can find."
"Riley, where do we go?"
Scarlett asked. I pointed to the stairway at the back of the room. "That way, up to the second floor," I said. "It also leads to a rabid, two-headed hyena that can bite your head off from the front and from behind at the same time," I remembered. "Better let me go first. I said, my hands shaking. I grabbed two of Carter's light poles that he brought to help light up the place. I led the way to the stairs. If a hyena attacks, I can fight it off with these poles. Everyone laughed. They thought I was making a joke.
Maybe Bigfoot is up there, Scarlet said. We could get him on our video.
You're not funny, I said. I'm just telling you what's in the game. Carter had brought so much equipment, everyone had to help carry it upstairs. Our parents were all wishing us good luck and making jokes as we started the steep climb. None of them were taking the danger seriously. I guess I couldn't blame them. None of them had ever played the game. The old wooden stairs creaked under our shoes. One floorboard was missing, and I nearly tripped and fell into the hole. I grabbed for the banister, and a chunk of it broke off in my hand. Scarlet and Mia were right behind me.
Riley, are you a total klutz in the game, too?
My sister said. Mia chuckled. Scarlet, you're a riot, I muttered. The air grew colder as we climbed. A burst of wind greeted us near the top. The air smelled musty, sour.
Evil spirits like to stay up high, I heard Carter telling Denisha. They don't like to be near the ground.
Denisha let out a tense laugh.
So you think it's more dangerous on the second floor?
Definitely.
Since when is Carter the evil spirits expert? I wondered. I paused at the top of the stairs and glanced around. Every muscle in my body tensed. I'd fought the monstrous hyena several times. Sometimes I won, sometimes I died. No sign of the deadly creature. I saw a wide room with windows all around. A long wooden table stood in the middle. Half a dozen candles burned brightly on the table, and a flaming torch was hung on one wall. A narrow door in the back wall stood half open. Maybe a closet door? I could see only darkness behind it. Shoes scuffled over the wooden floor as everyone stepped into the room.
At least it's nice and bright up here, Chang said. Not exactly cozy, but...
His voice trailed off.
I'll set up my equipment over there, Carter said.
He pointed to the wall across from the stairway.
Careful with the motion detector. It's very delicate. Don't drop anything. This stuff costs a fortune.
Denisha, Chang, and Mia obediently dragged the cases and screens and electronic devices to the wall.
Okay, everyone stand back, Carter said, waving both hands as if shooing away a dog. I have to set this up myself. Stay back. I'm the only one with the skill and the knowledge to get this equipment to work.
Nice guy, isn't he?
What is all this equipment supposed to do?
Scarlet asked.
Detect evil spirits, of course, Carter snapped.
I just thought of something, my sister said.
Everyone stopped to listen.
Where are you going to plug this stuff in, Carter? There's no electricity.
Denisha groaned and slapped her forehead.
Oh, wow. Now she thinks of it.
Chang shook his head.
We lugged this stuff up here for nothing?
Carter raised a finger to his lips.
Shut up, everyone. Everyone chill. I'm a pro, remember? I brought my own generator.
He dragged a large square box across the room.
This will power all the equipment. It runs on gasoline, he explained. We plug everything into it. Then I start it by pulling this rope like a lawnmower.
We stood and watched Carter as he went to work. What else could we do? He wouldn't let us help. It took a long time to get all the devices and machines set up and plugged in. All the while, I stayed tense and alert, watching for any creatures that might attack. And watching Mia. She stayed close to Scarlet and hardly spoke. But I didn't trust her. And I still couldn't believe Scarlet had invited her.
Stand back, here we go,
Carter said, motioning us all away again. He stepped up to the generator and gave the rope a strong, two-handed pull. The generator made a chugging sound and started to